Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the CONCACAF Champions League Review Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the CONCACAF Champions League semifinal second leg review show, as both teams, the Montreal Impact, advancing in their semifinal tie, taking on Club America from Liga MX as they advance out of their tie. And that was a hell. Both second leg semifinals were unbelievable. Chat room is open now. You can come on in and talk about whatever you want, especially in this match if you want to go ahead. But, boy, I got to tell you, this was absolutely unbelievable what we saw in both legs. Now, let's talk first about Club America. You're down 3-0 on aggregate. You coughed up 3 goals to Club Herediano in Costa Rica, and then all of a sudden, you're going to come back to the Estadio Azteca, what should be the biggest home field advantage on the planet for not just the national team of Mexico, but of course for Club America and the other Mexican club side that shares the stadium. And 95,000 Club America supporters coming in and just filling it up, rooting for their team, rooting for those yellow shirts. And then all of a sudden, inside the first 4 minutes of the first half of this second leg semifinal, there's a goal. It's an early goal. It's also a big goal, because then you're going to see what everyone saw when that big, nasty train rolls right through the Herediano defense. It came out of nowhere, but there will be those that will say, if Club America gets that early goal, it's over for Herediano, because this is a train that's not going to stop. And it did not stop. 5 goals in the first half of this second leg semifinal. Fine, on the 6th goal late in the second half, but you know what? You knew it was over. You already had this feeling. It was all over. And even though Herediano got steamrolled, it's not like they gave up. They were trying. They were trying to get something going, and it just wasn't good enough. And the defense was absolutely horrendous for Herediano. I'll say it right now. That was FC shambles times 50, because Herediano just basically allowed Club America to just do whatever they want. No, I don't think there's match fixing involved in this one. Club America is just too damn good. Too damn good. And you know what else, to be honest? You know, they felt that they were embarrassed in Costa Rica. They were down 3-0. They thought they didn't have a good game. And I guess they wanted to show Herediano, this is what happens when you really face a Club America side. When we don't perform well, that you're going to get this. And you're going to get it really, really badly in our house. And that's what they did. We have the big setup here for a big final that we're going to see in 2 weeks. We're going to see what's going to happen when this Club America side is going to face against a tough opponent in the Montreal Impact, who going down and facing Alajuelense. Before I even get to the second semifinal discussion of the goals and how the match ended up, you know, getting word through Twitter that from Simon Evans of Reuters, as well as World Soccer Talk, Dominic Oduro informed the media that the Alajuelense fans did the monkey chanting while he got the ball, or probably when he was close to a side of the stadium. And as we all know, CONCACAF president Jeffrey Webb, who is also a FIFA vice president or a member of the FIFA executive committee. So basically, Sepp Blatter doesn't have to handle this because Jeffrey Webb is FIFA, whether you agree or not. He is FIFA, whether you like it or not, because even though it's a CONCACAF matter, Webb is FIFA. So Blatter doesn't really have to see what's going to happen here. It is a CONCACAF matter, so Jeffrey Webb will handle it. But to see all of these things that we have watched on HBO's Real Sports show with Brian Gumbel, when he talked about this with Thierry Henry, the second interview with Thierry Henry, you know, you just got to say that I hope Alajuelense pays a very, very heavy penalty for that despicable act, because we don't need that in football. We don't need that in football at all, soccer, whatever. We just don't need it, because we're trying to get rid of all these things out of the game, and hopefully they will feel the wrath of Jeffrey Webb, president of CONCACAF, when this whole thing is officially over. You know what else I want to say? I want to say that good for Dominic Oduro. Obviously, it must have been really hard for him to hear that. Good for him for being strong. Good for him not walking off the pitch in one of the most important games in Montreal Impact history, as well as MLS history. As an MLS club, the second MLS club, the first for Canada, will go to the finals and host that second leg at the Big O, the Olympic Stadium. But I have to say this. It almost was deja vu down in Costa Rica when the Impact, then playing under U.S. Soccer Second Division, then having 2-0 at the Olympic Stadium in the first leg, heading back down to Mexico for the second leg, scoring 2 to make it 4-0 on aggregate because those were 2 away goals. And then all of a sudden, Santos Laguna just comes out of the blue and scores 5. This match had that deja vu feeling. Great goal, Jack Mack. Alajuelense scores 2. Here comes Andreas Romero as a substitute. He gets that second away goal. It's 4-3 on aggregate. It is basically 2-2 on the match, 2-0 on away goals. And then all of a sudden, Alajuelense gets a third to make it 3-2 on the match, 4-3 on aggregate, but the away goals still in the advantage of Montreal. And then in second half stoppage time, they get the fourth to make it 4-2 on the match, 4-4 aggregate draw. So all I can say is that these are the types of games, that really show you what type of metal your teams are involved with, because Alajuela could have gotten that fifth, and then the away goals rule advantage would have disappeared. And you know what? It didn't. Because finally, at the end of that match, the Montreal Impact pulled off the impossible, taking it on away goals 2-0, as the match ended as a win for Alajuela on goal aggregate, a 4-4 draw. But on the away goals rule, 2-0 draw. And that's what happens when you're praying that a fifth won't be scored. That's what happens when you pray really hard. You pray really hard that Montreal will go through. Because we probably would have seen already Club America versus Alajuela in the final. And you have to say, you really, really have to say, great job from Frank Klopas's Montreal Impact, as they are now on their way down to Mexico City at the dreaded Estadio Azteca. Maybe it's lost a little shine because of Mexico's national team having a terrible 2013 in final round of qualifying. Now, make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. This could be it. This is the big opportunity for MLS to get a notch on their belt finally, to maybe win the championship of the Confederation. And at the same time, maybe we will finally get an MLS side to represent CONCACAF in the FIFA Club World Cup at the end of this season, of this calendar year, I should say. Outside of that, I have only one complaint. Joel Aguilar, while, you know, once again, I don't want the referees to feel like they are in fear when they are officiating these games in Central America or Mexico when the crowd is really that ruckus. Do your job. Aguilar had a decent job, but when Piatti got stomped three times on the leg and his defender put his hands on Piatti's throat, didn't really choke him, but he did. He did touch him by the throat. That's a yellow for the stomps. That's a red for the hands to the throat. Should have been thrown out. Should have been thrown out. And the Alajuela should have been down to 10 men the rest of that match. I wish CONCACAF would go back and take a look and say, you know what, this guy deserves to be suspended. And if it's not going to be during the Champions League, then it should be during club play. We'll see what happens, but obviously that's not going to happen. Well, folks, I've got a great show for you tonight. Unfortunately, both of my guests could not come on live tonight. They had to do it through taped recorded show interviews and the segments. We're going to go first to my good friend Kevin Laramie. Of course, you know him, the producer and host of the Off the Woodwork podcast on the Montreal Impact. Very, very happy guy. Very, very happy to be involved. And great night. And we'll see what's going to happen. Here are his thoughts after the great win by the Impact in the second leg.
Once again, CONCACAF Champions League semifinal second leg review show here on the For Your Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. And joining me now, talking about that great second leg in the semifinals, it's Kevin Laramie from the Off the Woodwork podcast, following the Montreal Impact. And Kevin, my goodness, winning this match and the entire tie on away goals, it was 4-2 Alajuela on the match, 4-4 draw on aggregate, but once again, the two goals that the Impact scored in Costa Rica were the away goals, and the away goals rule is the tiebreaker that puts Montreal into the final.
I never thought I would ever hear those words, Daniel. The fact that the away goals rule has been reinstated this year Wow, what a timing for the Impact. What a change of rules that literally propelled the Impact to the final of the CONCACAF, taking advantage of the away goals rule for the second time in a row in knockout stages. The Montreal Impact, which you have to say, they just clawed, they fought, they sweat. A lot of blood, a lot of tears, a lot of everything was left on that pitch, including a shoe for some reason. And Montreal Impact were able to just make enough to go through for the second home and away series in a row. And that's what those tournaments are about. Not what's the best team, not which striker is the hottest. It's what team just ekes it through. Just what team just ekes out the one goal they need and just makes it on.
Absolutely. And you have to say in that first half, Aluenza had plenty of chances. They had plenty of possession. I mean, I'm taking a look at the possession statistics right now. 58.3% to Aluenza, to Montreal's 41.7. Mostly in the first half, that possession was a big, big percentage in favor of Aluenza because they crossed a lot. They had tons of shots, but majority of those shots in the first half never, ever got on frame, or even if they did, Evan Bush once again makes those big stops.
Exactly. In the first half, Daniel, only two shots on target for Aluenza. They were trying to use the width of the pitch, trying to use the flanks and cross it in. But they forgot about two defenders that were playing for Montreal. Baki Soumaré and Laurent Simard were heading everything out of the box in the beginning of the game and were able to control the aerial game again at the beginning of the game, which meant that the Impact did bend a little but didn't break in the first half. And they had only one chance of scoring, and they did take that chance. So now Arturo and Cabrera were overlapping in the left flank, creating some space for Arturo to get alone on the left flank, enough space to cross it directly to Jack McInerney, who had an easy empty goal just to finish it in and really silence the crowd at the end of the first half. But it was the only chance that Montreal really clearly had in the first half.
Absolutely. And of course, that first half, towards the end of it, that was the big moment that everyone was waiting for. That was the big moment where, unfortunately, as you already know, Cameron Porter, done for the season with that ACL tear, who was the big hero in the second leg in the quarterfinals against Pachuca at the Olympic Stadium. Jack McInerney, who got into great position, just finding a way to avoid his defender, taking that Dominic Oduro cross and sliding it home in the 42nd minute. At that time, it was Montreal 3, Aluenza 0 on aggregate, but on away goals, 1-0 for Montreal.
Yeah, and at that point, Aluenza needed 4 goals, and we were all really confident about, yeah, they're not going to get 4 goals. Montreal's got this in the bag, and, well, it was a second half to remember. Let's just leave it at that.
Absolutely. It was a great second half. Unfortunate foul being called against Montreal. Aluenza gets an opportunity. Pablo Gabas, he scored 2 goals. The first one that just a couple of minutes into the second half. Great free kick strike. Gabas again gets a second of the match in the 60th minute. And at that time, it's 2-1 for Aluenza in the match. It is 3-2 on aggregate for Montreal with the away goal because Aluenza still needed 2 more to get the aggregate win. But a great substitution by Montreal, by Frank Lopez, bringing in Andreas Romero in the 61st minute into the match, subbing in for Dilly Duca, who had a pretty good match himself. And then all of a sudden, in the 72nd minute, I don't know what the keeper was doing, Dexter Lewis, for Aluenza.
Rewatching the actual play a couple times, I can exactly explain to you. He was trying to come up to block the first attempt. But then one player that was sliding to block that same shot ran into the keeper and blocked his left. So he couldn't move on the left where Romero was heading with the ball to then slot into an open net. You mentioned the substitution to bring Romero on the pitch. Not only that, Patrice Bernier, who was coming on the Jack McInerney as a defensive measure, a midfielder for a striker, well, he is the one that created that chance and gave the ball to Romero to begin with. And then Romero evaded 2 defenders and a keeper at the same time to actually score that goal in a somewhat empty net. And that goal was not only the serious clinching goal, it was a goal that put Montreal in the 8-4-2 on aggregate at that point.
Absolutely. Let's also not forget that made the match 2-2 and 2-0 advantage on the away goals. And that was absolutely good. I want to, obviously, Alan Guevara made it 3-2 on the match, 4-3 on aggregate. Jonathan McDonald in second half stoppage time on the third minute of four made it 4-2 in the match, 4-4 draw on the aggregate. But Alajuela needed one more. And unfortunately for Alajuela, but fantastic for Montreal, after probably another couple of seconds, maybe another minute or two, whatever, the final whistle blows, and the Montreal Impact do the deed. They defeat Alajuela on the away goals 2-0 as the aggregate was drawn at 4 apiece. Big time win for the Impact and for Canadian soccer and for Major League Soccer.
Absolutely. The Impact becoming the first Canadian team to ever make it to the final of the CONCACAF Champions League, the second team in Major League Soccer history after Real Salt Lake a couple of years ago. But basically what Montreal achieves is a little redemption for 2014, but basically it's a new team that achieved this in 2015, and I wouldn't call it redemption, but I think it's the beginning of something new for Montreal, something beautiful, I think it's the beginning of a new story being written, and that play in the CONCACAF is a story. The franchise in Major League Soccer never had nothing to celebrate since their beginning in 2012, and I think that run may be the one thing the supporters can get behind them and be like, yes, we can celebrate this, and this will be our focus from now on. This is the highest achievement we ever made, and we should really be proud of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You should definitely be proud of it. They should be proud of it. Everyone in Montreal should be proud of what the Impact has done so far in the knockout stages of the 14-15 edition of the CONCACAF Champions League. But going to back to Jack McInerney, you know, we have to stress this, is that I understand he was frustrated with how he was challenged by some of the Alajuela players. I understand that they threw every trick in the book at him on the pitch. But when he went off and when he saw one of the Alajuela players coming towards him, it probably was Pablo Gabas, he probably smacked him. He smacked him in the face, actually. Then probably. He did. He smacked him in the face or he gave a punch. And he got booked because I'm telling you right now, if the referee deemed that's a red card offense, I don't think that substitution would have happened because he probably would have said, Bernier, you're staying there. McInerney, come here. You're done. Go. Because I don't think that substitution would have been allowed, and then that would have forced Klopas to remove someone else.
It would have changed the game. It would have changed. Romero's goal would probably never happen because Bernier would have not have been there. It's what-if scenarios, of course. But
of course.
You're right. McInerney did let a certain Alajuela player get under his skin, but to be devil's advocate here, players like Jonathan McDonald were probably the dirtiest players I've ever seen on
I agree.
A soccer pitch. Forearm shot in the back, elbows in the ribs, hair pulling. Granted, he got his hair pulled, but I think it was just he got what he deserved on that one by Arturo.
And that was actually Bakari Soumaré.
Yeah, it was Soumaré, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of dirty fighting tactics on the pitch from Alajuela player, but especially the captain, Jonathan McDonald.
Absolutely. Obviously, we've already heard reports that Dominic Oduro was basically getting monkey chants from the Alajuela fans. And, you know, I'm glad that CONCACAF and FIFA, I don't know FIFA, well, Jeffrey Webb is FIFA regardless, whether he runs CONCACAF or not. Jeffrey Webb also represents FIFA. I'm glad that there will be an investigation going on because if that is deemed the case, we all know what Jeffrey Webb said. Well, here in the States, I don't know if you've heard it over there in Canada, but on the Brian Gumbel HBO show Real Sports, Jeffrey Webb says they will deduct points if there's any form of racism being thrown or, you know, the evil chanting at these players, and that's not right. That is not good. And I only hope Jeffrey Webb does throw the hammer down if he does find real evidence.
Hopefully, yes, but it's not just the only sad event that happened on this game this Tuesday. Evan Bush was pelted by coins all night long, and it's Costa Rican coins, so it's colones. And if you ever looked at 100 colones and a 50 colones, those are huge coins. And that keeper got them belted at him all night long, and there's some video evidence, some TV images where you see those coins land in the back of the head of Evan Bush. It must have not been pleasant. There's been shoes thrown at him, some paper balls, some cartons, a lot of things thrown at Evan Bush of the game, which is really despicable.
It really, really is, and I really hope that once again CONCACAF will throw the hammer of justice down on Alawenza for that, because there's no way that should have happened. The referee, obviously, in this match, Joel Aguilar, who normally does a good job, there are times I thought he just wasn't able to officiate the game properly, especially when there was a foul that was committed. And we talked about this, obviously, on your show, on your podcast. He was ready to blow the whistle to stop the replay or the restarting of the play because there was a foul that was called on Montreal, and he wanted to admonish the player, and all of a sudden, there goes the restart. The defense was already napping. Thank God Bush was there. One of the defenders was able to see what's happening, and he helped out Bush by not allowing that ball to go in the back of the net, because, you know, whether you're going to like it or not, I think that if the ball did go into the goal, I think it would have counted regardless, and then you would have had a big problem there.
Oh, absolutely. And like you say, yes, Aguilar did not have his best game, but it wasn't that bad. Just on a couple of calls, you mentioned this call, weird, the non-stop of the play and the maybe just restarts a little too quickly. The play that caught my attention was against Nacho Piatti, close to the sideline, where he got stomped on his calf while he was one knee down, and then when he was getting back up, somebody put his hand on his throat and started pushing. And the referee was right there, and he separated them. But no fouls, no booking. And I thought that actually deserved the red card.
Yep, absolutely. I think Alawenza deserved a couple of red cards, especially what happened to Piatti towards the first half. I mean, he got stepped on three times, and he had and the Alawenza player put his hands on Piatti's throat. I mean, that's red card. The far side assistant, you know, he's not that blind. He could have said to Aguilar, you know, waving his flag to say, come here, give him a red card, because he stomped on him three times, and he put his hands on Piatti's throat.
And I think that, I know it's going to sound cliche, but that's where the 18,000 hostile environment atmosphere can have a certain, I don't want to say influence on a game, but that certain calls just don't get called because of all those intangibles put together.
Yeah, very, very true. Okay, Kevin, we all know what's going to happen. First leg of the final on Wednesday, April 22nd, will be at the dreaded Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. Club America survives a 3-0 aggregate deficit and scores 6 on Herediano. And Montreal has a big, big opportunity in front of them in that first leg. They'll host the second leg on Wednesday, April 29th at the Big O. Go ahead, Kevin. What are you expecting in this big final first leg?
I might be dreaming, and I have to say I am dreaming, but whenever I think of Estadio Azteca, there's always a score that comes to mind, Daniel. There's always a certain phrase that in Spanish just sounds so beautiful, and I think that's what the Impact needs to do. Why not a 2-0 at the Azteca?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
it might be impossible.
Boy.
It might be dreaming. I am dreaming, but that's not what the Impact would need to come back home and be happy.
I'll tell you, that's going to be a very big test. I mean, obviously, we all know what happened in the World Cup qualifying in the final round for the Brazil cycle. Jamaica gets a scoreless draw there, 1-1 draw there, a 0-0 draw with the USA. This could be a big moment for Canadian club soccer if that dream result does happen. We'll see what happens, Kevin. In 2 weeks, I should say. Thank you very much for the time.
I might be there.
We'll see. We'll see. You're going to have to let me know. But thanks again for being on the show. I appreciate it. And once again, Kevin, good luck in 2 weeks in that first leg of the CONCACAF Champions League final.
Thank you very much, Daniel.
Kevin Larame, host of the Off the Woodworks podcast in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And I got to say, right now, as of right now, I just got to say this. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what's going to happen. And I also want to give congratulations to Kevin. He will be heading to the Estadio Azteca as a member of the Canadian soccer media. He's heading down there. He's got his credential already okayed. And I got to tell you, I hope he enjoys himself, and I hope it'll be a lot of fun for him when he's down there. So I can't wait to see what's going to happen. It should be interesting to see how the Impact will play this first leg down at the Estadio Azteca. Of course, we have to talk about Club America. We have to talk about how they conquered being down 3-0 on aggregate and then just basically putting six past Herediano. Herediano needed at least one or two away goals to stay alive and to do the upset. Well, guess what? Herediano has been eliminated, and Club America will host that first leg in 2 weeks. And talking about that first leg, or at least talking about this semifinal second leg in review, once again, when John Jagu was supposed to come on, unfortunately something came up, and so we recorded this afternoon. John Jagu from Big Soccer, who covers Liga MX and Mexico's national team.
Once again, this is the special CONCACAF Champions League semifinal second leg review show, and joining me right now to discuss the Club America Herediano second leg semifinal is, of course, John Jagu from Big Soccer, who covers Liga MX and Mexico's national team. John, how are you?
Hey, Daniel, how are you? Good evening.
Good evening. John, just go ahead and take the floor, because I got to say, not only were you right, but what a thrashing that was.
Yeah, it, you know, it's something that we talked about when we spoke a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, we said that, you know, the only way that they would have a decent chance was if Club America got an early goal. It happened. I don't think anyone was expecting them to get, you know, three by the 24th minute or whatever it was. I mean,
mm-hmm.
They had the game pretty much seawalled. You know, they had the tie pretty much sealed up, you know, right before halftime when they got that fifth goal. So, yeah, it was, I have to give credit to obviously the players and coach, but also the front office. They wanted to make sure that the Azteca was going to be as intimidating as possible, so they ended up lowering ticket prices. By doing that, rather, they were able to get, you know, about 95,000 people showing up. And, you know, I don't care whether you're from, you know, Costa Rica, England, Brazil, wherever it is, if you're going into a stadium that has 95,000 people yelling at you, it's going to be intimidating. I think that it took a while for Herediano to get going, and then by the time that they, you know, maybe took a little control of the midfield, with their, you know, was really good midfield, I think that by that time it was too late, and they had the red card, which was just a bad mistake by the Herediano player, and, you know, they were down to 10 men, and, you know, even when it was still 4-0, I mean, they still had a chance. I mean, and they had some chances. You know, if they get that one goal, they would have made America look that much harder. But, you know, the reserve goalkeeper for America did well, kept them alive. And then, you know, the offense did what they had to do. They got the four goals by Pipa. And then, you know, they got the 6-1 there at the end. And, it was... you know, it was a statement game for them, obviously. I think that it's going to be a great final between them and Montreal. You know, Club America earlier in the week had played a derby with Cruz Azul. They won that 1-0, so that gave them the confidence they needed to go into this one after their 3-0 defeat away from the Azteca. And they got the win, and they're in the final. And I think that this, you know, more than anything, I think kind of legitimized the tournament, because, you know, it finally saw one of the bigger sides in the region. You know, not only have the team take seriously, but the fans take seriously. TV take seriously. I mean, it was a big game. It was probably as big a game as we've had in the whole of the history of the recent history of the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely, John. I got to tell you, I mean, not only were you right about that opening goal in the fourth minute by Darwin Quintero that made it 1-0 and 3-1 on aggregate, but to me, it just looked like, even though Herediano was trying, the truth of the matter is this. They were still trying, but they looked deflated at the same time.
Well, you know, they never, I mean, I didn't see a team that had given up at all. I mean, they were still playing. I mean, let's face it, we see teams in our region when they give up, you know, go to the nasty kicks and, you know, just trying to, you know, get wild. No, we didn't see any of that. I think that they're, you know, in the second half, I think when they when it was 5-0 and, you know, Club America was the one that was generating the chance. But at that point, I think it was academic. And you know, and then credit to Club America, the, you know, the coach, you know, took, you know, he called off the dogs, put his big guns in the holster, so to speak, so that they wouldn't get any yellow cards or any, you know, anything stupid happen to them. And, let, you know, and let the youngsters play. And then, frankly, the way I see that, I see that as, you know, if your football team is a 42 method and you put the second stringers in and they run the ball, I mean, you still can't stop you. So if you can't stop the young kids, then, you know, that's really more on you than it is on America. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's, it was, I have to admit, I was not all that surprised with the result, especially, you know, like I said, that early goal, I think, was the key to the whole thing. And getting it, and then the fact that they were able to get, you know, a couple more on some pretty good players. I mean, there wasn't, you know, walk-in goal, but that second goal, I think, was, you know, gave them just a huge amount of confidence. And then by the time they got the third one on, another really good play where the ball just has to bounce their way. And, you know, like I said, the rest is history. And I think that we're going to have a really, really, really good tie in two very, very energetic home crowds coming up.
Absolutely. And here's the amazing thing about that first half. As you said before, Benedito scored the next four. I mean, that was a sequence that I've never seen in my entire life, especially with one player being so dominant after you're up 1-0 in the second leg. And that is basically four goals within a 24-minute span from the 8th minute all the way through to the 32nd.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. I mean, you couldn't miss. It was very impressive. And the fact that he was able to get the goal, but again, I mean, it wasn't like he was. I mean, he took four shots. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what was so incredible is that, I mean, the beard couldn't miss. And if it didn't find fault with Rahed Adiano, I mean, really the ones you need to look at. I mean, I'm not going to blame the goalie on those, but I mean, on some of those, the defense was. You know, guys were double teaming when it didn't have to be, so left other guys wide open. So really, I think it was the defense that really let down Adiano. And frankly, their coach did too, because after they won the game 3-0, they said, you know what, no one's tempted by a spec anymore. You know, it's a place where it's more a photo op than anything else. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, why on earth would you, and especially that team and that crowd, you know, could give, I mean, because let's face it, you know, Club America is an extremely arrogant team to have for years. I mean, don't give them a reason. You know, you just don't give teams like that reason to you know, you give them like an intangible, you know, to help them out. And I couldn't believe it when I heard it.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I think the rest of the CONCACAF should wag their fingers at that, because I think that whatever mystique that Azteca had lost in 2013, I think that, I mean, if Club America has done well, you know, and if the national team starts doing well there again, then it's, you know, what the hell were you saying?
Yeah, I know.
So.
Oh, man. But obviously for Herediano, it didn't help them much when you got – I mean, you're down 4-0. You're down like 4-0 already in the match, and you're down 4-3 on aggregate. And obviously they still could have gotten away goal, but that was a foolish challenge by Eder Nelson-Martin from Herediano. He got sent off in the 27th minute. I know he's trying to claim he got all ball, but the truth of the matter is that was a reckless challenge, and he should have known better. And then Club America, of course, completely in the driver's seat when Herediano went down to 10 men.
Yeah, it definitely put them in a terrible situation. And like I said, but honestly, like I told you, I don't think it would have mattered when they had 10, 9, or 11 guys in the field. I don't think that they were going to be able to stop Club America. I mean, I think that they had been, you know, they were rattled and they were intimidated. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know if you've ever been there. That's a wall of people. That is a tough place to play.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild up. And you know, and if the team responds, then you can see what you. I mean, America could have scored 9 or 10 goals easily.
Yeah.
The other night. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, they were as into the team as could be. So you know, I think that you know, with whatever they had to try, I just don't think it would have worked for them last night. And I'm hoping that, that they have that kind of crowd again in the and when in that first leg against Montreal, which I can't for the life of me understand why Montreal gets the host final, but whatever. I think that's some ridiculous setup. But I mean, you know, Kuhlman in this tournament, they scored over 30 goals in the tournament. They you know, if they can, they got a tough game this week in the league, you know, and then between games, they have their game against Guadalajara. So that's going to be interesting, too, to see how they're able to juggle back. I mean, that is a huge game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they're in the final league, and that the last thing they want to do is go up in that game. So it's very interesting to see how all this is going to shake out.
Yeah, it really will be. You know, I mean, Lysiga gets the sixth goal, the touchdown, and as you said, Matosas didn't want to bother with the extra point. But, I mean, you had to feel a little bit sorry for Mauricio Wright after the red card that was earned by Martin. I mean, I've never seen a coach who has looked so, I would say, upset. I'm not trying to disparage him or anything like that, but I mean, he looked very, very upset. He looked very animated in his technical area. I mean, you kind of felt bad for Mauricio Wright to see his team getting destroyed the way they did.
I do feel bad for the players, but I mean, it was on them. I mean, if they, the coach didn't do it by running his mouth off at the first game. I mean, they have a good team. I mean, they could have played with nothing to lose. And like I said, I mean, to me, the ones that are the most to blame in this whole thing are the defenders, because, I mean, they were letting guys, I mean, it was like, they were giving guys free runs into the box. And I don't care if you're playing, you know, a team in Belize or a team in Mexico City or a team in Old Trafford, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do it. Maybe it's the frustration rolled over, but I mean, it's like you can't give a team like America on that stadium that much of a chance to come back from three goals. I mean, make them earn it. I mean, don't just give it away. I mean, they were giving it away. And Club America said, thank you very much. And then, you know, like you said, after 32 minutes, the tie had been decided. You know, how often do you get to say that for a team that was down three going into a second leg of a Continental Cup semifinal?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just crazy stuff. Well, the schedule's already out. I know you you feel that Club America should have hosted the second leg, and you know the truth.
I mean, CONCACAF has a thing. Well, if the one team beats the eight team, then they're automatically, you know, then they get to, no. It's like whoever's the highest seed, the surviving highest seed. I mean, why even see the tournament? You know, whoever's the highest divided seed should get the second
one. And I was about to say, I do agree with you, because Club America did finish as the highest seed after the group stages. I absolutely agree with you.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, John, and believe me, you're absolutely right. What's the point of seeding them if you're the highest seed and you don't host the second leg? No, you're absolutely correct. That should have happened.
The only thing that every the champions have done it, but that's because everyone's in the team are so level. But I mean, if you're gonna go bother to seed teams, then be faithful the whole process, not just for one, not just for one.
No, you're absolutely correct, because you want to do it fair and square, and believe me, I understand where you're coming from. But at the same time, John, the Montreal Impact, they went through a very good game plan against Pachuca in the quarterfinals. They survived Alajuelense in the semifinals in the second leg, because many were thinking that we're going to have a repeat of Santos Laguna when Montreal was in the in the U.S. Soccer Second Division League before it became NASL, and now they have this opportunity against Club America. Obviously, America fears no one, but still, in your opinion, what does this great historical Mexican side needs to do to prevent a first-leg disaster against Montreal?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest thing is that they're going to be healthy. You know, they weren't healthy when they went down to Costa Rica, so that's going to help. And also, you know, Pachuca, you know, as talented as they are, they were very young and green in the midfield, and I think that Montreal did a very good job of exploiting that. Well, this midfield is not such a good midfield. So I think that that's going to, you know, hurt Montreal. Now, where Montreal has a huge advantage, and it's something that we saw the other night, is that Club America, like most Mexican teams, have a real problem defending set plays. So if I were Montreal, I would, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they were able to get a couple of goals or a couple of really good chances on set plays. So that's one thing, an area where I think that they can really exploit Club America. I think they're going to have a hard time controlling the midfield, and, you know, we all know, and we saw the kind of firepower that Club America can show when they're clicking. And I think the big key to that was Darwin Quintero, who hadn't really been playing well for Club America since he transferred over from Santos. But you know, now we saw that he's the kind of player that he is, and the kind of player he can be. And I think that if that continues, then it's going to be very interesting how it plays out.
Yeah, absolutely, John. This is going to be probably a very exciting two-legged final here in the Confederations Champions League. This is going to be exciting. I know I cannot wait for this. I am so ready. Obviously, for an American, I'm ready for this coming Wednesday with the International Friendly in San Antonio. But at the same time, after that, we're going to have two great legs in this 2014-15 CONCACAF Champions League final. John, thanks again, and I'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, sure, Daniel. My pleasure.
John Jadagu from Big Soccer. Covering Liga MX and Mexico's national team, and oh my God, I am still in shock, partially, the way that Herediano did not defend at all. They did not seem to be up for the challenge, and they did not seem to be looking solid at all. There was a report on the day of the match, with the Herediano bus going to the Azteca, that the bus got pelted by stones from Club America fans. Now, whether that happened or not, I don't know. But if it did, that probably shook them up a little bit. But still, you would like to think that Herediano was going to play in that match and get ready to fight. But once again, it's a situation where that, you know, Club America probably felt embarrassed of their performance in Costa Rica, and they promised and probably vowed that they were going to go out there and do a job. And boy, did they ever do a job. Let me tell you, they really did a job. You have to feel sorry, and you have to feel bad for the manager of Herediano, Mauricio Wright. Of course, Mauricio Wright, one of those members of the Costa Rican national team back in the day. I mean, when you saw the red card for Eder Nelson Martin after 4-0 for America, and, you know, Herediano, they still had plenty of time to try getting away goal and dent this momentum by Club America, and they didn't. I see Mauricio Wright, very animated, very upset, very angry. You did feel bad for him because he thought the game plan that they had worked out before going up to Mexico just didn't happen. It just did not happen the way he drew it up. And it's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable what happened. Oh, it's just really, really shameful on unbelievable stuff here. I mean, just unbelievable what we saw. But once again, this is probably what many wanted to see. Obviously, you thought maybe you're going to get an American side in Major League Soccer to just come out of the blue and do it. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. This was a strange one. If you want to talk about
the American sides in MLS, I mean, only BC United was able to get into the knockout stages. I thought Portland had enough to get into the knockout stages. I thought I thought Sporting Kansas City might have had enough to get into the knockout stages. That game between FAS and the Red Bulls, you know, that was very disheartening because it looked like and it felt like one goal was going to be enough to push it all forward. And to have that final group stage match against Montreal at Red Bull Arena, this was the situation where maybe, just maybe, there's going to be enough push to get that big final match going, you know, have Red Bull Arena filled up. Here's the situation once again, and I have to talk about the Red Bulls here for a minute because, you know, if it's not for that third group stage match in El Salvador, you know, we would have a big, big match at Red Bull Arena to see who's going to take the quarterfinal spot. Now, I'm not saying the Red Bulls were going to have the same type of dominant performance like Montreal has. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that the Red Bulls would have gone to the quarterfinals and have that matchup with Pachuca. That's all I'm saying, because the truth is this. We don't know what would have happened if Mike Petke, who was ready to go for it, and unfortunately was probably, we don't want it. Now, I don't know if that's what it is. I don't know if that's the situation or if that's the case. But the truth of the matter is, if it was not Sair Sen taking the penalty, because you had Dax McCarty there, you had Peggy Luyendula there, and Peggy Luyendula can take penalties. So at least you had two options other than Sen to take the penalty. It should have been Luyendula. And if that ball would have gone in, that's it. Game over. Red Bulls advancing. I shouldn't say advancing, but at least close to tying it up possibly on points or being close to having points or at least having the ability to say, okay, look, you got to win here. You lost 1-0 in Montreal. You won in El Salvador. You have Montreal that's on 9 points. You have the Red Bulls on 6 points. It'll be tied on points, but then you have that big opportunity to really rack it up on the goals. But that's what happened. And people want to complain about, look, you don't have any people inside Red Bull Arena. The truth of the matter is this. If you watch the first home match against Club Deportivo FAS, the lower bowl was nearly filled, 75 to 80% capacity. The upper deck had some smattering of people, and that's fine. And I was expecting a lot less than that when I was at Red Bull Arena. But when you have that final Champions League game and no one's playing for anything in that one, it's just you throw out the reserves and have fun, and that was for both because that draw gave Montreal the automatic door to say, hey, you're going through that door, that's the quarterfinals. I am very disappointed on how three of the four American MLS teams, or if you want to say three of the five, because you got to count Canada's MLS. I mean, Montreal's MLS, but they're in Canada. So, well, you know, once again, three out of the four American MLS teams did not get out of the group stage. And that's very scary. Very, very scary. And there's one of two ways. Either you tell your clubs to take it a lot more seriously, or CONCACAF might have to change up how and when the group stage starts and when the final comes to the end of the season, because we're not, you know, I understand the lower level, not the lower levels, but the leagues below the United States, they have the opening closing seasons or closing opening seasons, however they want to do it. Still, once again, we're going to have to find a way, and the most important thing is to have more MLS teams in the southern end of the country, or if there's going to be another team coming into the north, like Minnesota's going to come, and they're coming to MLS, maybe we can find a way to have a retractable roof above the new Minnesota soccer stadium that's going to be in the downtown Minneapolis area. So we'll see what happens. Not saying it's going to happen, just saying that's the idea that's been floating around. Let's go to the schedule. Ah, yes, the schedule for the 2014-15 CONCACAF Champions League Finals. Wednesday, April 22nd, live, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, Globe America will host the first leg against the Montreal Impact. On Wednesday, April 29th, at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, the Montreal Impact will host the second leg at the Big O, the Olympic Stadium, against Globe America. And John Jagu is correct. If we're going to seed everything after the group stages, I mean, whoever's the top seed has to host the second leg. That's the truth. But we'll see what happens going on, and that will be in about a week and a half's time, because right now we got that big old Mexico versus USA friendly coming up in this coming Wednesday down at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. And you just got to say that right now, this could be a bang of a final. This could really be a big banger right here, because I'm telling you right now, Frank Klopas is definitely going to make sure his defenders are ready for the challenge. His defenders are ready to make sure that they don't get brutalized by the big guns of Club America, because obviously they're going to look for any weakness possible. This is it right here. History on the line for not just MLS, but for the first time ever in Canadian club soccer history, this is going to be a big final. Here's how we're going to set this whole thing up for the show. First leg, we'll have a post-game show on Wednesday, April 22nd, if I can get both gentlemen to come on live and recap the match. If one of them can't come, then we'll have to find it. We'll do it either Thursday or Friday of the same week. Wednesday, April 29th, unfortunately, I will be having the DVR on. I will be at Red Bull Arena on Wednesday, April 29th, because they had to move around a couple of games. Colorado Rapids were supposed to play on July 25th on a Saturday, but because apparently I guess there'll be something else going on that day, the match has been moved to Wednesday, April 29th. So I will have my smartphone with the Fox Sports Go app watching the second leg. I'll still have it on DVR just in case I have everything going and recorded. But Montreal Impact versus Club America, Wednesday, April 29th. And then on Friday, May 1st, will be the review show for the second leg. And I'm still trying to get both men on at the same time, because I really want to do it justice. I want to do it justice, and I really want to make sure that we all have a fun time listening. Everyone within the States and everyone up in Canada, if you want to listen in, please do so. Would love to have you guys listening live here. And if not live, obviously catch the archive if you can. Please do so. Hopefully we'll have both Kevin Laramie on and John Jagu to discuss the final. I want to thank them both, Kevin Laramie and John Jagu. Kevin Laramie up in Montreal, John Jagu down in Texas covering Liga MX and Mexico's national team. My name's Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening tonight. Special CONCACAF Champions League semifinals second leg review show. As always, please listen, continue on, enjoy your football. Join me next week, Tuesday night, regular show, and, of course, the big pre- and post-game, USA versus Mexico, down in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. Thank you again. Have a good night. Enjoy your football. Bye-bye.